Chapter 6, again, is our text for this week. I trust that the Lord has been growing you through a study of spiritual warfare, the reality of it, and that you are more in tune with the Lord and this reality today than you were in days past. And so we continue here, putting on the whole armor of God, reading Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 15. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, as this becomes more and more familiar to us, Lord, don't let the familiarity of it breed contempt. Don't let us be dull in our hearing, but rather, Lord, prick us in our spirit to dig even deeper, to understand more deeply our need for the whole armor of God, to understand more intently that if we will not stand in your strength and in the power of your might, we will fall. And so, Lord, we know your design, your purpose for the church is even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But would we be counted one of the many in the army of God is the question. And so your heart goes out to us. You love us enough to tell us of our weakness and our need of you. And you show us, Lord, our weakness. And so we praise you and we thank you for your grace and your goodness towards us. We thank you for being a God of provision who provides the very things that we are in need of. May we not be as a spoiled child and walk away from it or not be grateful for it. Or not put it into practice. For what you have done is for our good and for your glory. May we lay hold of that truth today. Hide your servant behind the cross. Speak through these lips of clay, Lord. May you be glorified through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue on our look here, and it's such a wonderful analogy that God had given to the Apostle Paul while in a prison in Rome. We were talking this morning in our Sunday school about Joseph going from the prison to the palace, and that there are lessons to be learned in the prison, and certainly one of the lessons to be learned is that God does not vacate those he places in prisons, and that we enter into those situations knowing that God is at work, and that there's something to be gleaned and understood through those difficult times. We can't start a study on spiritual warfare and not recognize that our life as Christians are going to be fraught with dangers, with hardships, that things are not always going to be on the level, but there will be steep inclines in our walk with the Lord and declines as well. That this is a difficult travel walking with the Lord, and one in which we simply cannot do it on our own. We are saved by grace, and we live according to God's abundant grace on a daily basis. I think sometimes as Christians, we take on this idea that, well, yeah, I was saved back in such and such a date when I accepted Christ, and we live in this past tense. But the reality of Scripture is that we are to live in the present sense of being saved, as we have been saved and we will be saved. And so the struggle for the Christian, if you don't recognize a struggle, I would have you examine your heart, as Paul would say, whether or not you are truly in the faith. Because Scripture is clear of the difficulties that will confront us. Well, as we move along, we have gone through having your loins girt about with truth, that you your feelings must be encompassed in truth. Don't be gauging your life according to your feelings, but rather gauge it according to truth. And along those same lines, the breastplate of righteousness, that our heart's desires must be conformed into the breastplate of what is right, the right way, the rightness of God, that we don't simply follow after our heart's desire, but rather our heart's desire is aligned with God and His way is always right. And now we turn our attention to having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, before we talk about these shoes that we're going to put on our feet, I want to talk about our feet a little bit. I'm not a real big fan of feet. My wife will tell you that at times she said, "Would you rub my feet?" And I just, I really don't want to. I just say no. They're not my favorite things. But I want to bring out some points of importance to understand about our feet, how important they really are. Do you know that within your feet you have over 7,000 nerves? Within your feet you have 250,000 sweat glands. That's obvious to some people, right? Do you know that within your feet you have ligaments and tendons and muscles totaling 100 in your feet? And are you aware that you have 33 joints in your feet? And you have a fourth of all of your skeletal bones held in your feet. Stop and think about what God has designed that we just take for granted. If you are simply standing on your feet, you are actually only using a handful of those muscles, ligaments, and tendons. That's why it tires us to stand. And when we walk, we add in pressure upon our feet. Just a simple walk adds 30% of your body weight upon your feet. And yet, we will walk millions, possibly, many thousands of steps within a lifetime. These remarkable two appendages that we have on the bottom of our legs are two of the most sensitive areas of our body. They are complicated. They are integral in all they're put together. And they work remarkably, don't they? I've often questioned sometimes the wisdom of God. Why would you put so many nerve endings in something that I'm going to be pounding on the ground all day? For good reason. Because your feet are very important. And if there should come a hardship, some kind of a challenge to your foot, don't you want your brain to know that? This is the issue with people who have diabetes and they get this neuropathy down in their feet and their legs and something goes wrong. They get a puncture, they get a bruise, they get a something and they can't feel it because the signal has not gone to their brain to say, "Hey, got a problem down here." Many of us are incredibly ticklish in our feet. If you have ever watched me from a distance walking on my driveway and I'm walking like this, you don't even have to look down. You know I don't have any shoes on. Because it is the least little thing that affects my feet. And when we think about these feet, as this analogy is put forth before us, again, we're going to look at a Roman soldier and we're going to see how they were equipped as they moved forward as a marching band of military personnel and the importance that we are all marching together. Then you can understand that our feet are very sensitive and the sensitivity of our feet creates a potential issue for all of us being able to walk and maintain together. How many of you have ever had just the simplest of little thing? Maybe a tiny little sliver in your foot, one that you couldn't even see, but it causes you excruciating pain. I can remember one time, it had been many, many, many years ago, I had a pain in my foot. And I took my shoe and sock off, and I could find where it was. I could feel it when I pressed on it down here in the ball of my foot, but I couldn't see a thing. And I sat there and I kept massaging that around that painful spot, and it began to, I could feel something. And pretty soon, here come a tiny, tiny, tiny little sliver of glass out of my foot. Our feet are sensitive and miraculous and wonderful. Do you know what the Roman soldiers in that day, it was common for them to march 20 or more miles a day. The reason the Roman Empire spread as far as it did, as quick as it did, was because of the mobility of the soldiers, the ability for them to move. And do you know that the spreading of the gospel has depended upon our mobility, our willingness to move? And so when we're reading through these articles of armor that we are to put on so that we might be able to stand and withstand, that's this strengthening, this foundation, but it does not mean sedimentary. For if God had meant for us to be sedimentary and stand in one place, He wouldn't have given us these miraculous things called feet to move around. He would have built a castle around us. But all of this armor is meant so that the man can be protected and provided for and victorious as he moves. Therefore, just like any one of us, if we're going to go move about, we put shoes on our feet. Because the miraculous nature of our feet is they do tremendous, wonderful things, but they are sensitive and need to be cared for. And so we put shoes on. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus was sending out his disciples two by two, and he said, don't take anything with you, because I'm going to provide for you. But do you know the one thing Jesus told his disciples to do? Was to put sandals upon their feet. Because God knows how sensitive our feet are, physically and spiritually. The Roman soldiers, Paul would have been looking out of a window, I suspect, and he would have been seeing these soldiers. And as he took note then of what was on their feet, he discovered an item called a caligae, or caliga, if it's a single, but they had pairs too. Isn't that amazing? They had two shoes. And so I went through my closet. I got to find a caligae, a pair of caliga in there, but I don't have them. Do you have them? Anybody have a Roman sandals at home? No, I didn't think so. So I started looking at that. Well, what would best of what I got, what would best describe what's shown to us here in Scripture? And this is the best I can come up with. This is it is my favorite running shoe company. For a lot of different reasons, but this is a trail shoe. I have road shoes when I go running, meant for smooth surfaces, and then I have trail shoes that are meant for when the road is rougher, inclines, declines, boulders, roots. Diana and I were in Maine a couple weeks ago, the 7th through the 14th of October, and we went on these trails, and some of it was incredibly grateful. People that walk on the Appalachian Trail give themselves trail names, and my wife's is Mountain Goat, because at times just keeping up with her was difficult. But this shoe is much like the Roman sandal in this way. The Roman sandal was not a fully enclosed shoe, but rather it was a laced-up thing. It was a sandal on the top. And the reasons for that was because they could be going through water, and also they have 250,000 sweat glands in their feet like we have, and your foot needs to breathe. This shoe is largely breathable on the top. It allows air in and out. If I should go through water, I come out, the water comes squirting out of it, and eventually it dries much quicker than it would if it were a boot. That's the way their sandals were. The second thing their sandals were is they were a stiff piece of leather. That was the primary thing on it, an oil tan piece of leather that was strapped then with these straps to the bottom of their foot for the obvious reason, to protect the sensitivity of the foot. It still allowed plenty of motion, as does this shoe. It fits the shape of my foot, allows my toes to splay and do the things that they're supposed to do, allows my arch to exercise the way it needs to exercise in those muscles, allows all this freedom of movement within the shoe, but the bottom of the shoe is designed in a stiffness with a rock guard to keep my foot from getting bruised if I step upon hard things. And the other thing that this shoe has are these lugs. It's called Max Track. That's what it's called. But anyway, lots of lugs, lots of grip on this thing. We talked about it when we were on the AT, how there were places where you really were thankful for those lugs. The Roman soldiers didn't have rubber on the bottom. They had leather. And so they would drive spikes into it, and it would be this hobnob on the bottom to give them extra traction. It's very, very similar, actually. And so that's what Paul was looking at. Now, what we want to do is we want to take what he was looking at and what we're looking at and apply it then to this walk with Christ that we have. And what does Scripture say about our life in Christ? Scripture declares to us that we cannot walk to Jesus, nor can we walk with Jesus according to our own strength. Numerous places within Scripture bring this out. Just on Tuesday, I delivered a message about the man who is lame at the pool of Bethesda. He could not get there on his own. He needed Jesus to come unto him. Mephibosheth, you remember Mephibosheth? He was Saul, King Saul's grandson, who is lame in his legs because his nurse was running from David, and his legs were broken, and he could not, therefore, and David had him carried to his dining table. Psalm 18 and verse 33, in numerous places within the Psalms, the psalmist would proclaim that God has made his feet to be like deer's feet. And Psalm 23 tells us that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Hebrews 12 tells us to run a race with patience. And then if we were to turn to Romans chapter 12, there's a passage here where this specifically applies now to what Paul is teaching us in Ephesians chapter 6 and Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Oh, I've got the wrong reference. Where do I want to go? Here we go. I want to go to Romans 10. I knew that didn't sound right when I said it. Romans 10 and verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And there Paul is drawing out of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. And so we have this idea of this shoe to protect us in our sensitive feet. And then we look at these words that are found here, and if you were to look up the word bind, you would find that the Greek word is deo, D-E-O, it's very simple, for something to be bound. You'll remember that Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul said, even if I am bound in prison, the word of God is not bound. But the word that we have here in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that our feet are shod with the preparation. That word shod is not the word deo, but it is the word hupodeo. And anytime you see in Greek language, anytime you see the word hupo, it is under. And so what we find that these Roman soldiers, what they had was something around their foot, but most importantly, something attached to the bottom of their foot. In other words, it was the established foundation of their very stance and movement. The important thing would be that they had a firm foundation upon which they would move. It's easy to understand, isn't it? If I were to go on a trail running, I'm not going to take a pair of slippers. I'm certainly not going to wear stiletto high heels for a lot of good reasons. I'm not even going to use my running shoes that are meant for the street. I'm going to take my trail shoes because of the reality that I need a firm foundation upon which to stand. And the Apostle Paul says that we are to have our feet readied, prepared, adhered to the preparation, hetoimazia, a readiness, an establishment, a foundation upon which we move. And that is the gospel of peace. That you need to put on to protect your sensitivities, the gospel of peace. As I talk about sensitivity, I looked it up in the Webster Dictionary to make sure that it's a good use of the word. And sensitive means something that is quick to detect and respond to the slightest changes, signals, or influences. It isn't that we are not going to respond to things. It's that our things that we respond to are going to be tempered through the gospel of peace. So the question is today, in your walk with the Lord, are there things that you are sensitive about? Are there things that cause a pain in you to where rather than marching with Christ, you hold up and you have to stand off to the side and rub your poor foot? Are there things that get under the sole of your foot and cause an issue to where you can't keep up with the church? Or you don't desire to keep up with the church because the pain is too great? I believe that we are entering into an era here in the United States of America that is going to be an uphill battle for those who are going to follow Jesus Christ. Persecution, I believe, is going to come upon the church. I don't tell you this to make you fearful. I tell you this to prepare with a solid foundation of the gospel of peace upon your sensitive life so that you might be able to march with God who is marching through, up the hill, down the hill, across the water. God's church is going forward. Are you marching with it? Our sensitive things must be bound up in the gospel of peace. It is the gospel of peace where we find peace with God that changes us. And it is the gospel of peace where others around us might find that same peace with a living God that needs to be proclaimed. You see, all too often our sensitivities derail us from the important thing of sharing the gospel of peace. In this day and age, the distraction is our sensitivity to political things. In this day and age, the distraction is our love of pleasure. In this day and age, we are more sensitive to the things of the world than what is sensitive to God's heart. God cares little whether a person aligns with a political party. His most important desire and sensitivity is that people align with Him. And we need to be marching, carrying that message. You know, when you stop and you think about these sandals, they provided three things, really. They provided protection for their sensitive feet. They provided traction so that they could go wherever they needed to go. And they provided victory as they trampled evil under their feet. Do you know what God wants of you? He wants you to be agile, mobile, and hostile for the kingdom of heaven. From the time of John the Baptist until now, is taken by violence. The army of God. I've heard that statement so many times. Mobile, agile, and hostile. One of the places I remember hearing that was on the movie Remember the Titans. You seen that movie? It's a great football movie. Well, I did a little bit of research. Actually, this wasn't even going to be a part of it. That's why it's on a separate piece of paper. But I got to thinking about it again this morning. And I read about a man by the name of Jake Gaither, born in 1913 and died in 1994. Jake was born to a pastor and his wife. Many thought that he would become a pastor, but he didn't. He became a football coach. He coached a school in Florida called Florida A&M. Actually, it was called Florida A&M of Negroes. It was an all-black school. And Jake was a very successful college coach. He went on to get many accolades, many different, served branching out over coaches as far as that goes. His winning record at Florida A&M in his tenure there was 204 wins, 36 losses, and 4 ties. And Jake said, and I believe God says, I like my boys to be agile, mobile, and hostile. There's a battle. Trample evil under your foot. Take the ground. Stand on the gospel of peace and be a good soldier in God's army. Put on your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'll leave you with one passage of scripture, Psalm 91. I believe as I was looking for confirmation throughout scripture to make sure that the things that God would have for us are found without scripture. Throughout scripture, I found my heart turning to Psalm 91. Happy the state of the godly is the underpinning of my Bible. But as you think about the gospel of peace providing for us protection and traction and victory, we read this passage of scripture together. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by the day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon you. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of peace. our salvation. Found, Lord, when we were at odds with you, at enmity with you, because we were in love with the world, you saw fit to come and to save us. And then, Lord, you save us for a peculiar purpose, that we would be your hands and feet, that we would be your body, that we would be, Lord, light in this world. As you radiate from us, Lord, our mission, our reason for being here is, Lord, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to be prepared by binding to the bottoms of our feet the gospel of peace, and to carry that message. Lord, I know that hard times are coming because Scripture says we will not escape this world without them. And we have been far too relaxed about sharing the gospel. Perhaps, Lord, as the persecution comes, as the day darkens, our lights will shine the more. Perhaps, Lord, it is through persecution that you will further the gospel within the borders of this nation. Perhaps, Lord, it is in the hardship and the struggles as the temporal things in this life are challenged that we will understand, Lord, that this is not our home, but that we are citizens of your kingdom and that you have made us to sit in heavenly places with you. And that we will hold less to the things of this world and more to the things that please you, and that we will be about your business. I believe, Lord, this is a time when you are going to shine and that you are going to move. I believe, Lord, with all of my heart, you are ready to break forth upon this nation. The question, am I ready to move with you? May it be so. May our hearts be prepared, Lord. May we consider, Lord, the vocation of which we are called to be of utmost highest, and that we, Lord, would follow hard after you. Regardless of the sensitivities of our being, that the gospel of peace would go forward. Lord, speak to each and every one of our hearts today. Draw us close to you. Encourage us. Strengthen us, Lord, in our walk. We pray these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. You have a hymnal there. It's really a perfect song, I think, to end with today. It's number 430 in your hymnal. Going to ask you to stand as we sing together. It wouldn't be right to sit and sing Standing on the Promises. Five verses, I believe we'll sing all five verses. The gentleman that wrote this happened to be a part of the Pennsylvania Military Academy, Russell Carter, and you'll definitely find a military theme as you go through Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. Thank you. close the service today. Again, I'm not going to be greeting anybody. I'm on the very, very tail end of a cold. I thank the Lord for that. But I, again, don't want to be careless and pass that around. So please, it isn't because I don't love you. It's because I do. And so we're going to close the service now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, standing on your promises, it cannot fall. Lord, we thank you for your provisions throughout this world and our life in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your purposes for us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would embolden us, strengthen us, Lord, to be good soldiers, and, Lord, that we would proclaim the name of Jesus as we go from this place. Strengthen us by your power and by your might alone, Lord. As we pray these things, we pray, Lord, your protection over us. We ask for your provision for each one of us. And we ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in the lives that we live. And so we commit our lives to you, praying these things in Jesus' name. Amen.